Chodesh Tov Mevorach world. And today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you on this Rosh Chodesh Elul Tovshin Peivav, is daf Kufvav. And the last thing we were learning about was the different types of netilot and what type of water you can use for the various netilot. And we talked about the Mayim Achronim and the Mayim Arishonim and the question of what happens between courses and civilization, cleanliness, and we're going to get into now the Mekoros of these Takanas. But meanwhile, we have an interesting story that has three variations to it. Kiyata Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisroel. He said over, and Mayim Arishonim Echivu Bisar Chazir. The fact that somebody didn't wash before eating bread ended up feeding him pork. And the Mayim Achronim, Otziu et Aisha Mibala. Mayim Achronim, that caused the woman to get divorced. What was the story here? So the story was, this was the Maisa actually that the story spoke about in Yuma, where Rabbi Meir used to be Doris Shemot. And anyway, he was traveling together with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and they came to this particular place right before Shabbos. They check into this motel, and the guy's name in charge of the hotel, this was Kidor's motel. Rabbi Meir said, no way I'm trusting this guy, because it says in the pasuk, Kidor tapuchotema. So Kidor is a sign that this guy is the end. So he wouldn't give his money into the safe. But Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi, they gave their money into the safe before Shabbos. Anyway, comes after Shabbos, they ask for their money back out of the safe. And so Kidor, of course, says, money? What money? So they notice that he's got some lentils on his mustache. So they said, okay, we got a good idea. They went over to the guy's wife and they say, listen, your husband said to give us the money out of the safe and to know that you could trust us. He said to tell you that this morning you had lentils for breakfast. So she said, gosh, how would he know that? Okay, I guess it must be a message from good old Kidor. And so she gives him the money. Kidor comes and says, what? You trusted those bums, gave away all that money, and he divorced her. But when Ravin came, he said, no, that wasn't the story. The story was that I didn't tell you the first part, of course. So how did it happen that the guy ended up eating chazer? Because they went to a restaurant, you see. This is a different story. But there were these Jews come into a restaurant. And this was during the time of the Gezerot, and the restaurant, even though normally you're not allowed to serve kosher meat and non-kosher meat, obviously, and you're not allowed to do business with non-kosher meat. But in this case, these were anusim, so they pretended to have a restaurant that was good for, non-kosher eaters. And when a Jew would come in, they would have special plates and they would have special food, and they would know that this guy is a Jew. So if they didn't know someone, the way that they would determine if he's Jewish was to see if he did netilat yadayim before he ate any bread. So this guy, he wasn't marked on a tilat yadayim. So they said, okay, chalk him up as a guy. And they fed him, in the first story, they fed him chazir. And that's how it is that he got chazir. But then when Ravin came, he said, you got the story a little bit mixed up. They didn't feed him chazir in that restaurant. They just gave him the nevelas, you see. And the chazer would have been worse, because the chazer would have been both in a vela, obviously, because we said the vela is a din on anything. And it also would have been an iser of Bein Matmea. So that was even worse. And according to the way Ravin said it, the Achronim, he didn't just divorce his wife. He actually shot her. I mean, this guy Kidor, he's a tough fellow. Anyway, so the Acharonim hargu et ha-nefesh. They didn't just get her divorced. And there's an easy way to remember who said what. What did Ravin say and what did Rav Dimi say? Because it's easy to remember your simon. Your simon is, because we know that Rav Dimi came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael before Ravin came. And so the easy way to remember is that when Rav Dimi came, he got her divorced, but then Rovin came and he shot her. So you know it was in that order that they came to Bovel, and that was the order in which they said over the story. Anyway, these are the two primary versions of the story, but there's actually a third version. And the third version was Rabbi Abba's version, and he had one of one and one of the other. So he took the worst case of both. So he took the Chazir case, which is both Chazir and Nevela, and he took the murder case, and he put them together, and that way it ended up being the butler in the library. Anyway, Itma. So getting back to the actual dinim of how is it that we are going to do netilat yadayim, this is referring to the netilat yadayim arishonot, and the truth is that there's a machlokas about how to understand what we're about to learn, because Chizkiyah is apparently, depending on how you learn, Chizkiyah is ignoring with the braita. The braita, we said before, is you're allowed to use hot water for netilat yadayim rishonim. And Chizkiyah says over here, einot limbi yadayim on chamei ha'ur. So if they've been through a heater, then you're not allowed to use them. So now the question is, what are we talking about? Because before we said that you could, and Rashi indeed learns that he's arguing because Chizkiyah is a Tana and he has the right to argue with the Braita. And because of that, he's apparently a new sugya. But most of the Rishonim learn that what we're talking about over here is not a contradiction, and this is how Tosafos understands it, because we're talking about Mayim that Yad Soledet Bo, and we said before that if the Mayim is Yad Soledet Bo, then you're not supposed to use it. So it's going actually, according to, depending on how you learned the Braisa before, obviously, but the way Rabbi Yonai learned, so the only way in which we said you could use Mayim Verachamim is only if it's not Yad Soledes Bo. If it's Yad Soledes Bo, you cannot. And that would be the way Tosafos understands Chizkiyah as being relating to Rabbi Yonai's approach to the Braita that we had yesterday, and therefore it's not a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, you can indeed use them for Netilat Yadayim. And in fact, says Rabbi Yochanan, I asked Rabbi Gamliel Benosha Rebbe, and I mean, he would know because he was very makbid. He was an Eichel Tyres. Someone who's Eichel Tyres is very makbid on the Tilat Yadayim. He would know all of the dinim. So I asked him, and he said, what do you mean, is it okay? Kol gedolei Galil osim kein. All of the gedolei Tyre and the Galil, that's what they use for their Netilat Yadayim. So many point out that to say that this is referring to Yad Soledet, it doesn't make sense. What do you say? All the Gedolim and the Galil burnt their hands every time. Like, okay, it's much more reasonable the way Rashi understood it, that he wasn't talking about Yad Soledet, but he was talking hot water. So he's saying that the Gedolim and Galil, they used hot water and they felt that it was also better for Nikias. And as we'll see, there are special inyanim of Nikias that are Nogea, the dinim of Netilas Yadayim. Now, what about Chamei Tveria? Now, Chamei Tveria really have two problems. One issue of Chamei Tveria, of the core, is the fact that they are scalding hot. The other issue of Chamei Tveria is that they stink to high hell, and because they actually come from hell, as Chazal say, right? So they've got this sulfuric classic vision of the Satan, you know, with the sulfur fumes all around, and there come the Chamei Tveria. So would you be allowed to be netil yadav in that kind of water? So Chizkiyah says, no, you cannot do netilat yadayim with Chamei Tveria, but you can do tefillat yadayim, meaning there's a separate halacha and it has a separate brocha even, al tefillat yadayim, and except if there's a chashash, people get confused which one to say, but be'etzem, there's two separate dinim. One is netila and one is tefillah. Netila with all of those special halachas of what kind of kli and so on, kayach of the adam. And over here, there's a different halacha that if you do tefillah just on your hands, in a kosher mikveh, so then it would be kosher. So since over here we don't have the limitations on the heating and on the smell of the water when it comes to a mikveh, so tefillas yadayim would be okay, but not netilat yadayim. Reb Yochanan says, you can only be tevel your entire body in them if you're doing an act of tefillah. But you cannot do just your yadayim for tefillah's yadayim. He throws in panav yadav raglav, not that there's any specific meaning to panav and raglav, but just that that's what normally people would do. So therefore, you can actually use it only for tefillah's haguf. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, look. If something is kosher for kol gufo, and the din of tefillas yadayim is a subcategory of kol gufo, it's just saying that you can do only your yadayim. So isn't it obvious that if your entire body, you could be tevel and be yotzi tefila, ponav yadav v'raglav lo kosher kein? It doesn't make sense what he's saying. Omer, if Papa, I'll explain it to you. Bimikoman, tekuli amalo pligi d'shari. If you're going to stick your hands into the hole in the ground, where the chamei tveri are coming out directly into that hole. So that's hot springs. And there it's for sure a kosher mikveh. So everybody agrees, of course, kulei amalo plige, that there you're allowed to be tevel your yadayim for achila, because that's an absolutely kosher mikveh, no different than any other ma'ayanot. Mishkal minayim b'mana, and on the other hand, to take some of chamei tveri, put it into a cup, a container, and use them for netilat yadayim, for sure that's no good. There's nobody who holds that that's good. So that is for sure usur, because first of all, they're too hot, and secondly, they smell. And we don't allow that type of water used for netilat yadayim. So the machlokas between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan is only in one case, and that is the paskinu bebat birta. So what happened is we dug a little water channel out of the main hot springs, and the shaila is, it's mechuber to the mikveh. Would you be allowed to be tevel your yadayim in that little channel? Now, there's no reason why not, mi'ikar hadin, because the channel that's mechuber to a mikveh has a din of a mikveh. So you should be able to put your hands in it and do tevilat yadayim. So what's the problem? The problem is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that gazrinan bat birta atumana. The fact that people know you can be tovel your yadayim in the actual mikvah of chamei tveria, they're not going to get confused and say, oh, so that means you should be able to fill up a cup and use it for netilah. That doesn't follow. They're not going to get confused. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that we're worried if we allow them not to use the actual place where the water comes straight out of the ground in the hot springs of chamei tveria, then if they see that you've diverted it into even into something that's mechuber to that, they'll think that you could divert it into a cup and use it from a natla, from the tilat yadayim. Therefore, we're gozer. Chizkiya holds marsover lo gazrina. We don't make such a gezera. And now it's my turn to actually get one up over Barnea. Ha ha! This is an amazing opportunity, and I will savor every moment of it. Many were the times that I used this Gemara to dip my hands into the actual place where the chamei tveria, I don't even know if it's available anymore, but on the old days in Tveria, before everything was overbuilt and horrific, there was just a big bore straight out of the ground of chamei tveria. And it was very exciting, although it did smell.
I'm sorry, Rebbe didn't want up me. I don't think Rebbe matched me. Many times I took people to the Mitkan from the time of the Mishnah, and we dipped our hands into it. But I never saw the original boar. So that okay. But that, yes.
Okay. It's one of the first things we did in 81.
Yeah, did we? Okay, I don't remember taking everyone there. Beautiful. Okay, anyway, so moving on. The question is, this machlokas over here actually appears in a brisa. The machlokas we have between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiya, well, Chizkiya has a din of a tana if he wants to be chelek, but this is mamish a brisa, machlokas tanoim, mayim shenifsilu mishtiyat behima. So if you have water that is so disgusting that even an animal wouldn't drink from it, you wouldn't get an animal to drink the chamei tveria. So it says over here that according to the Tanakama, if you put them in a natla, so then they're pasul. You can't use them for netila. But if they're still in the ground, then you can use them for tefillah. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Elazar omer, even if they're in the ground, you can't use them for tefillah. You can use them for tefillahs kogufo, because they're kosher mikveh. There's no psul of a mikveh of sulfuric water. But you cannot use them for ponev yada v'raglav. Now, we asked exactly the same thing on Reb Shimon ben Elazar that we asked in the Machlokas Reb Yochanan and Chizkiah. If Reb Yochanan is saying, or in this case, Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying, you could be teva kol gufo, how in the world could you not be yotzi tefillat yadayim just for ponev yada v'raglav? I mean, if kol gufo tovel ben, is there any shayla? That, of course, yada v'raglav for sure should be perfectly okay, right? Elalav, therefore, we're assuming, I mean, it doesn't say it in the Brayta Beferish, but we're assuming that the only way to understand the machlokas of Reb Shimon ben Elazar and the Chachomim is to take for granted that what are we talking about? We're talking about paskinim bebat birta, so it's in the ground, and you had like a little continued dug out channel from the hot water. And the question is, probably exactly what we said about Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah. The Ma'ar Sofer, in this case, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar holds, like Rabbi Yochanan, and that Gazrina bat birta tumana, it's a gzera. If people see that you're being tevel yadayim, not in the actual place where the hot springs are, so they'll think you could even take the water and put it into a natla. Ma'ar Sofer, Mashinkin etana kamolz, is all such gzera. Like we said before. Now the question is, we're taking all of this for granted. We don't even know where it comes from. Where does this whole halacha come from, that there's a din that you have to do netilat yadayim, Rusa Makbid on it, and we have these stories about how it becomes like a simon of your Judaism, and if you don't do netilat yadayim, they could end up feeding you chazer and nevela and all of that. What's the mucker of the whole idea? That certainly doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you're supposed to be neitel yadayim. So, Omer of Yidi Baravin, Omer of Yitzhak Barashian, you do know that when it comes to Truma, so remember all of our gezeiros about Truma. We created a concept called Stam Yadayim, right? Stam Yadayim, as we've learned in so many of the Mishnayos that we did in Seder Tiras, Stam Yadayim have a din of a Sheni Betuma. We were gozer, a din of Stam Yadayim, because of what's called, Mr. Gavi, now that you have your brand new Pixel phone, we expect immediate magic. And I must tell you, it's truly a very nice image. And I would even have gladly donated towards that phone because we get such a beautiful picture of Mr. Gavi. So now you've got to take out your magic pen. And your magic pen is going to remind us all of, first of all, the halacha of Stam Yadayim. And that means that Yadayim, this is what you should write down, is Yadayim Askaniyote. Your hands have a tendency to touch all kinds of things that you're not even thinking about. You watch people's hands, they're scratching their head, they're scratching their tummy, who knows what, they're like a bunch of gorillas. And hands go all over the place, and you certainly don't want those hands touching anything that is going to be eaten, right? So, okay. We came up
with... I've been a dermatologist and people want to shake their hands after who knows what they've touched. Terrible.
Exactly. So with that kind of awareness, Chazal also felt that to even touch Truma with hands like that is so disgusting. And you're going to like infect all of that Truma, cover them with bacteria. It's disgusting. How are you going to treat something that has Kedusha like that? So because of that, the Yadayim Askaniot, which is purely a question of respect for the Truma and for the concept of cleanliness and making things dirty. So it all starts off with a sense of protecting the Truma. So we said, since Yadayim are Askaniot, from there we came up with the Gezer of Stam Yadayim. And once we have that gezer of Stam Yadayim, so that created the halacha that before you even touch Truma and passel the truma. My gosh, so we created this idea that you're going to actually passel truma without any indication of having actual truma, just because you did not pay attention to your hands. And if for 1 second, even if you did netilat yadayim, the moment that you weren't paying attention, they become once again, and that's called hesach hada'at. The moment you're mesiach da'at, the hands become tame. And you've got to go back and do netilat yadayim. So that was all included in that original gezeira based on yadayim or askaniot. And because of that, it turns out that in order to touch truma, and certainly to eat truma, you're going to have to wash your yadayim. Now, normally washing hands doesn't have any status in the halacha. You either go to a mikveh and you retire yourself, or your tummy. I mean, what's the, it doesn't make any sense even, the concept of hands. Like, how do hands have their own special halacha? And what we're going to see is that there's a remez in the pasuk for a special halacha on hands, which according to the Ritva, whenever we find an esmachta of that type, it is not just a mnemonic. It is an actual remez in the Torah that a concept exists that is normally concealed. It's not part of a normal halacha, but it is open to dealing with when a situation in the minds of the Chachamim requires dealing with it. And we're going to see that they relied on this, at least the way the Ritva understands it. It's more than just a device. It was an actual remez in the Torah, that there is a concept of Yadayim having a special status. In any event, why, however, that all makes sense to me, and I know that. I know that from the time that we learned Shabbos, and we learned the dinim of all of those special gezeiras that were made, and one of them were these gezeiras for Tumah. But how did we get from there to needing to wash? You're not even a Kohen, and you're washing on bread, which is chulin. Why did we do that? So Ravidi Bar Avin said that the mokra of the halacha is actually based on truma. We would not have made the gezeira for chulin itself, even though it's important for people to know how to stay clean, and God only knows how many lives of Jews were saved in times of plague and so on, which brought such suspicion on them because of the fact that they were makbid on the tilas yadayim and were not slobs like the rest of the world. But we wouldn't have made the gezeira for that alone. We made the gezeira because of srach truma. So it's sort of a getting used to how to act for truma. If people know that every time they eat bread, there's a netilas yadayim, and fundamentally, the place where we have, remember, a truma is called Reishis deganchem. So it's fundamentally in the Torah a vision of how it is that you use grains. So because of that, we made it standard. You're going to be eating bread, which is the most obvious and most by far common utilization of grain. So if you're going to eat bread, no matter what, you always wash your hands. This gets everybody used to the idea of clean hands and of the concept of stam yadayim, and they end up learning about how, if they weren't careful, they're going to have to do their netilas yadayim again. And therefore, everybody gets used to, as a certain basal awareness in Klal Yisrael, hands can become tame. They can make it usher for you to eat. And because of that, the kohanim will, of course, be makbid on the truma, and that is called srach truma. It's sort of like to expand the area of truma. Is a like a sircha on a lung. It's an expansion of something that sticks out of truma. So we make this the standard behavior, and also it's a mitzvah. Huh? What do you mean, also it's a mitzvah? What's the mitzvah part? You just told me that it was this takona. I don't know of any mitzvah in the Torah about washing your hands. Omer Abaye, it's a mitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. It's not that it's a hanhoga. It's a mitzvah. In other words, so Chazal were actually mechayev you with a gezeira that not only any idiot understands that you have to wash your hands because of the idea of the yadayim, Askani Otain, but because the Chachomim made it not an option. You're going to have to do it. That's the way that many understand it, but Pashtas. But Tosfa says he doesn't think that that, I mean, it's just repetitious. And so what he's saying is, Adarabba, the original Takana was firstly Esrach Truma. And secondly, Chazal felt that you need to be koveya, a mitzvah to stay clean, because of the fact that Am Kadoshat L'Hashem Elokecha, that level of Kedusha relates to a sense of cleanliness that you keep about yourself, and you're not just like animals. So the additional Kedusha of treating yourself with respect and treating your body with respect and treating the way that you eat with respect is a separate mitzvah. And that is a much more reasonable way to understand that it doesn't mean, well, you would do it on your own anyway, but besides, it's a mitzvah. Tosfos understands, no, these are two completely different elements. There's an inyan of Srach Truma, which is a takana, and the Chachamim will go there for chulin even on its own. And you should know that. When you do Netilas Yadayim, you're doing something, and that's why the minig, those have the minig, su'u yadechem kodesh, they do the Netilas Yadayim and hold up their hands, su'u yadechem kodesh over chuetz Hashem. I don't know if you're familiar with that minig, but that is based on, first of all, the halacha of making sure the water doesn't go down to your fingers in a metame, which we'll learn about. But it's also a remiss to the idea of Am Kadosh Atem. So that is the concept of the mitzvah here, according to Tosfos. Rava says, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is, because of Rav Elazar ben Arach, it's a mitzvah to listen to what Rav Elazar ben Arach is saying. He's saying it's a mitzvah in the Torah. No, that doesn't mean that he means it's mamish d'oraisa, but as I explained before, the Ritva understands it. And what does Rabbi Elazar ben Arach say? Rabbi Elazar ben Arach says, and this is, I'm sure Bob, probably Gavi will send our regards, Bezrat Hashem, today. And what is that mitzvah? Dichtiv. V'chol asher yigabo hazav. Look at that pasuk, and it's like mind-boggling. Anything, anybody that touches with the zav, and he didn't wash his hands in water, should be tummy. Huh? Didn't wash his hands in water. What is that supposed to mean? How does water on hands have anything to do with it? Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, you see? This is the place where we have a remes to Netilas Yadayim, and this became the smichus of the Chachamim, in which it's not crazy to say we treat the hands as if they have their own unique status of Tumah V'Taira. Mikan samchu Chachamim l'Netilas Yadayim me'Atayra. And therefore, there really is a mitzvah, much more than you would think. Okay, it's tam, you know, okay, gezeira, stay clean. No, the Torah is actually meramis it. Amalei Ravel or Reb Nachman?
Rebbe, time for a drink.
What exactly about the pasuk shows this? Because when it says Yadav lo shataf b'mayim, what is it saying? What is it implying? That if it would have been Yadav shataf b'mayim, it would have been okay? I don't understand. How is washing your hands off with anything mean that you're not going to be tummy? It wouldn't be okay. Ha shataf tahor? Or you need tefillah? You touch yourself, you have to go to the mikveh. There's another case that is metame, not only zivas. The acher shalosh shataf, if you're stam yadayim and you didn't wash your hands, you're also going to be tame, and you'll be, with your negia, you will be metame, your truma. Now, what about other things? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Oshaya, people who wash their hands for eating other things, like eating salad or eating an apple or whatever, that's only a question of staying clean. There's no mitzvah. So we separated between the issues of cleanliness and mitzvah, whether it's a mitzvah on the level of Lishma Divrei Chachamim, or it's a mitzvah because of Rebbe Elazar ben Arach's remez, but that none of that applies to peirot, and it's fine, it's optional. If you want to wash, you know, that's what it sounds like he's saying. Sovramina, they assumed in the Beis HaMedrash that there's no chiyuv. But it's certainly maybe a mitzvah to do it. And it's not just like a good idea to stay clean. Amalu Rava, no. There's nothing. There's no chovah. There's not even a remez of a mitzvah. It's just the rishos. It's something that people do on their own. But that is actually against what Reb Nachman said. Because Reb Nachman said it's usher to wash your hands with a normal netilat yadayim to show that you're makbid before you eat peirot, that you're going to wash your hands like a big shot, you know. So this is the, wow, what a one-upmanship. What a tzaddik. What a chassid. He washes his hands even for peirot. You're not allowed to do that because someone who does that is just showing off, and it's usher to show off. Hanotel yadav leperot, eno ela migasei haruach. He is an arrogant bum. That's what he is. Don't tell me he's from. Omar Rabba Bar Brachana, I can tell you, I was once actually standing in front of Reb Ami and Reb Asi, and they were, the host brought them this whole plate of different peirot. They took the peirot, they ate, they didn't wash their hands, they didn't give me anything. That doesn't just mean, what nasty people, they didn't give me anything. What it means is that there were two of them and one of me. Now, if there was a mitzvah to be mezamen together to say a bracha achreina, they would have given me so that they would have a mezumen. They bedavka didn't give me, and they didn't want a mezumen, from which we'll see in a moment that I learned a very important din. So lo yavoli me, they didn't give me anything. And then when it came time to do the bracha achreina, each one of them said their own bracha, and they didn't have one be mevorach for the other. I learned from this three very important things. Shema mina tlat. First of all, shema mina ein etilat yadayim leperot. We see that even these gedolei Torah, they were not makpid on washing their hands. Shema mina ein mezamnim al haperot. The fact that they didn't invite me means that they didn't feel that there was any mila to actually having an introduction to the bracha and to make a big deal out of it. There's no din of zimun, just on peirot, and that halacha of zimun is a din specifically in Birkat HaMazon. Otherwise, they would have for sure made sure that they had a mezumah. And Shema Amina, Shnayim Shalchlu, if two people eat separately, it's a mitzvah for them to each make their own bracha, unless one of them is not a baki in the bracha. But we don't say that it's better for two people to have one of them being mevorach for the other one, even though there's halacha of berov am hadras melech. So we have sometimes, if we're going to do a mitzvah that is done together, then the more people there are, that's the better it's a kiddush Hashem. Masha Einkein, over here, where you're not going to be doing a zimun, then each one of them's individual bracha is a greater mitzvah than the asking someone to be motzi you. And Tanya Namiachi, if you have two people that eat together, it's a mitzvah. This is talking about to eat actual bread that they could have made a mezumah. There's only two people, so then it's a mitzvah for each of them to make their own birkat hamazon. Mitzvah lechalek. Bamed dvarim amurim, shayu shneihem sofrim. That's only if both of them are Talmidei Chachamim, so they know how to make their own brachas. But in the case where Echad Sofer, the Echad Bur, one of them is not enough of a Chacham, he's actually a complete Bur, he doesn't know how to make a bracha, so then, of course, the Sofer should be Mevarech, and the Bur should be Yotze with him. Now the question is, this Netilat Yadayim, how far up your hands do they have to, does the water have to reach when you do Netilat Yadayim? So turn it up on it. Now, this part of the Gemara actually has an attached video. Make sure to download the connected link, because otherwise the Gemara doesn't make any sense, because it's actually a show-and-tell Gemara, and therefore it came originally with the video. We'll try to figure out what the original video was. So turn it up on it. Netilat yadayim for chulin only comes up to here, the joint. And for truma, it only comes up to here, which is the joint. And for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the Beis HaMikdash comes all the way up to here. Now, the here doesn't do much good without the video. So we end up in those dark years when the videos were lost. We end up actually with Machlokasin. But the way that Rashi understands it is the, Houdini is no longer looking. Now, this is called Hesech Hadad, and it's the first step towards disappearance, as the Gemara says. Sgirat HaVideo is Echad Mishishim of Yitziah, and Yitziah is Echad Mishishim of Shena, and you know that Gemara. So we're very careful. Anyway.
Mamash.
It's a hands-on Gemara. Nobody's more hands-on than a dermatologist.
That's true. Maybe Daka doesn't need the video. So Rashi understands that what we're talking about is we start with second joint, meaning the part of your finger that's the middle. This is your first joint, which is right underneath the nail. Then your second joint, and then the knuckle would be the third joint. Rashi says the first joint, which we set up till here, is the second finger joint, the mid finger. And the next stage is your knuckles, and that was till here. And then the third stage, which was the Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, was all the way up to your wrist. V'chol davar shechotzeis b'tfila b'guf, if you have a chatzitza, anything that would be a chatzitza on your body in the mikvah is a chatzitza for netilat yadayim. And it's you're going to have to make sure that there is no chatzitza. This is a chatzitza even for chulin. And certainly for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the Mikdash, you have to make sure that there is no chatzitza, so that maybe if you were working in the kitchen beforehand and there's something sticky on your hands, you're not going to be yotzi netilat yadayim, and you have to make sure that there's nothing that would have been a chatzitza for tefila. Omar Rav, says Rav, now I've got my own video. Here's the link. You go up to here for chulin and up to here for truma. Okay, you got that, right? So again, the two levels, the way Rashi understands it, is mid-finger and then your knuckles. And that was chulin and truma. And then only for Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim in the Mikdash do you need to go all the way up to your wrist. Whereas Shmuel says, no, and he bumps into Rav's video and he says, No, here's how to do it. It's until here, both for chulin and for truma. Well, where's here? Well, I mean l'chumra, meaning that you're going to have to go up all the way to your knuckles, assuming that that's the idea. But he was makbid for chulin exactly the same amount as truma l'chumra. Whereas Reb Shesha says, no, it's ad kan ben l'chulin ben truma l'kula. It's the other way around, that you can do not have to be so makbid even on a truma. And you would be able to wash, even for truma, only up to the joint of the finger. So this is something of a problem because, I mean, before we had in the Braita, Reb Sheshes can't argue with the Braita. And the Braita said you had to go up to here, that was the next step, which was all the way up to your knuckles. How in the world could Reb Sheshes, as Stasis, have argued with the Braita and say that they're both the same and that you could be Makil? How is that? Ah, apparently, says Stasis, the way that Reb Sheshes understood the original Braita is that level one is the first joint, not the second joint, the way Rashi was learning and the way the other Poskim here on, meaning between Shmuel and Rav were talking, he understood that the Braita was being makil to use the first joint as the first stage. He thought he was being machmir. So he said, I say, don't rely on the Braita's kula, be machmir, to treat even chulin up to the second joint. To him, that was a chumra. To us, we call that lakula because we just learned Rav and Shmuel, and so he says, no, you can be Mekel even for Truma, and our terms will be Mekel to go only up to the second joint, but you don't have to go up to the knuckles. But to us, that would be a contradiction to the Braita, because we understood level two in the Braita to actually be the knuckles, which is the third joint. And we don't ignore the first joint. That's how Tosfos understands Rav Sheshes, which makes a great deal of sense. Omar Bar Daya, I was once standing in front of Rav Ami. I didn't have a video, so he showed me himself up till here, both for Chulon and for Truma, and that's L'chumra. So he said you have to wash all the way up to your knuckles, whether you're talking about Chulon or Truma. And don't think that this was, especially Rav Ami, who was makpid on himself, because he was a Kohen. So because of that, the Srach Truma to him was very important. So he wanted to get used to always washing L'chumra, which would be all the way up to his knuckles. But that's not why. Because Rav Mayesha, who was the grandson of Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, he was a Levi. And he was not obviously coming from the point of view of a Kohen who's searching for doing things L'chumra for the truma that he's eating, because he wasn't ever eating truma. And nonetheless, he said the same thing. Ad kan ben lechulin, ben lechuma, lechumra. And so therefore, that's actually how we paskin. And that would mean that mi'ikar adin, you only have to wash lechumra, which is up to your knuckles. So if you were doing the tilas yadayin, for chulin, obviously, not for achilas truma, you would only have to wash up to your knuckles. And there would be nobody here who was saying more than that. So how the heck did we end up saying that the correct way to do Netilas Yadayim is to go all the way up to your wrist, which is crazy, because that was only needed for the Beis HaMikdash. So where would we come from making a chumrah like that on chulin? So the truth is that mi'ikar adin, we do paskin exactly like Rav Mayesha, because this was the way that the Gemara brings at the end, and that was considered to be a chumrah, and that was only up to the knuckles. The problem occurs because of a different girsa in the Gemara, and because of that different girsa, the rif paskin that you have to go up to your wrist. Now, nobody else had that girsa, and because of that, the Shulchan Aruch says that the ikar din is actually to only wash up into your knuckles. However, it became the minhag to be machmir like the Rif, and whenever possible, one should be machmir like the Rif. In a case where you don't have enough water, something like that, so then ein achinami, you should know that you can actually keep the ikar din, which is to do only up until your knuckles. Omer Rav, now this is a very nogea sugya, this next piece, and it's absolutely necessary in certain circumstances, which, as Rav says, if you wash your hands in the morning, you can rely on those hands for Netilas Yadayim all day long. So if you're not going to have access to water, let's say you're in an airplane and it's going to be difficult to get water for Netilas Yadayim. So then, before you even get on the plane, you could do Netilas Yadayim, and you could make a t'nai. Why do you have to make a t'nai? Because if you don't specifically make a t'nai, you're going to forget. And it's going to be Stam Yadayim at one point. He's not thinking of it. If you're koveya, that this washing, I'm washing for the whole day, and I'm not going to be Mesiach Da, then you can rely, if in fact you know you weren't Mesiach Da'at, so then you can rely on that Netilat Yadayim for the whole day, Matnalem Kola Yom Kulai, and you don't have to worry about Netilat Yadayim. Armelu Rabbi Avina, Livnei Patka de Arvut, so people that were living in Death Valley, and they had very little access to water. So he said, people like you who've got a problem the whole day, the thing to do, wash your hands in the morning, you wake up, wash your hands, and then atnu alayu, you should make a tanai that this washing should last me the entire day. And, okay, now some say Rav Avinu was only paskening to do this b'shas hatchak, because he spoke specifically to people in Patka d'Arvos. But you wouldn't be able to do this just because it's convenient and you're driving to the office and you might want a sandwich on the way. That's not called b'shas hatchak. B'shas hatchak lo. But if that were true, then Rav Avinu would be arguing on Rav, because Rav didn't say anything about you could b'shas hatchak. He said, masna odam, is masha b'shachris, is masna, without saying if it's necessary. He just said, that's a typical behavior, and there's no problem. Whereas others say, no, Rav Avinu was saying, he was just telling them good advice, but he didn't mean that it's applicable only b'shas hatchak. Afilu shelo b'shas hatchak, it would be perfectly okay. In which case, Rav Avinu was essentially saying exactly the same thing that Rav was saying, and there would be no machlokas between them. Now, problem with all of this is that it runs against a beferish sugya in brachas, which Tosis points out. Makes no sense. The din is that you're not allowed to have any hefsek between your netilas yadayim and your achila. So even meikra din, and according to some, you can't even say kiddush between them. How in the world could you do kiddush yadayim 10 hours before in the morning and do everything you're doing in the whole day and then say, oh, that was a great netilas yadayim, if it has to be immediate, it has to be right before you eat? This sugya is completely throwing out. How could they argue on the entire sugya and brachas? Because of this, Tosis gives two possible answers. One answer is that indeed this halacha would only be true b'shas hatchak, and that they didn't mean that you could do this stam because you're not supposed to. But the other answer that Tosfos gives is that the halacha that when you wash, you have to wash right before eating, is only where you're washing for eating. Obviously, the din of stam yadayim, if your hands are not stam yadayim, well, why would you need to wash? In this case, your hands were not stam yadayim. You washed because whatever. You woke up in the morning and you washed. So now your hands are clean. And after your hands are clean, you say, I'm not going to be Messiah Das for the whole day. So then you don't need to wash. That's the point. You don't need to wash to eat. This takana of the tilat yadayim is only where yadayim are askaniotein. But since in this case your yadayim are not askaniotein because they were completely tahar, and as soon as you wash in the morning, and you said, I'm not being Messiah Ba, why would you need to wash for food? So this din is specifically when you did not wash for food. So therefore, if you washed to eat, it wouldn't work. Then you couldn't rely on it the whole day. It's only where you didn't wash to eat. It's such an interesting halacha. It's only, and that's how we paskin. It's only if you didn't wash to eat, so then you can rely on the original netila for the whole day. But if you think, okay, people do this, you know, they think, okay, I'm going to wash now, and then I'll eat the rest of the day. You can't do that. Because that's goof of the point, is that your netila for achila has to be immediately prior to the achila. So it's a fascinating halacha. If you wash in order to have yadayim stam, that are tahiris, and you don't intend to use that netilas yadayim to eat right now, so the people who go ahead, they wash their hands, they say, okay, I'm going to eat now, and then I'll be simmering on that the whole day. Oh, no, that does not work, because there's no din of not being mesiach dat under those circumstances. Fascinating. Okay, actually,
making a bracha before getting on the plane?
No bracha.
No bracha.
No, of course not. You're not doing it till you're dying. You don't make a bracha every time you wash your hands. You come out of the bathroom, you make a bracha. The talent till you're dying? No.
I'm just getting myself out of the matzav of stam yadayim.
Exactly.
And
right. Right. The only time they were metaken the bracha was in order to eat. So when you understand the halacha, it's so clear. It's so borrower. But if you don't know what's going on, it seems like the weirdest thing. What? I can't rely on it because I washed for eating? How come he can rely on it? It's amazing. Okay, so this is another one of those, the way things work out sometimes seem to be very counterintuitive. So we're samech on this lemaisa, even though Tosfos says other Torah says that maybe it's only b'shas hadchak. That was b'pashtus against the sugya that we just came out with. We don't insist that it has to be b'shas hadchak. Fine, okay. The Gra brings both of Tosfos's tirutzim in halacha. He just mentions the Tosfos as Lefi the first Teretz Tosfos, and Lefi the second Teretz Tosfos. But in any event, this is how halacha ends up. So this is a very practical kind of thing. And of course, this is second nature to Richie because he's always on these planes, you know. I mean, wherever you look at Richie, he's going somewhere. Welcome home, Sir Richard.
I'm home. I'm not on a plane. I'm not going to go anywhere at least till after the Chagim.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Richie. Stay with us a little while. Well, listen, you never know what El Nino is going to do to your ski slopes, Rich, you know? Uh-huh.
once I get a new pair of legs.
Yeah. Okay, Rabosai, Chodesh Tov Mevorach, coming to the last 40 days of the Aliyah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Har Sinai. Hope you had a chance to listen to the shiur yesterday. It's such a beautiful idea that the whole concept of Elul is directly what it was from the beginning. It was to avoid Avodah Zarah. People think Avodah Zarah is irrelevant, and in fact, it's the most nogea, most relevant aspect of everything that's done. It's the first getter of mitzvah, and the Torah is merames it right away to Adam HaRishon in the tzavot. That word, the tzavot, is avodah zarah specifically. Ein tzav el loshen avodah zarah. And remember that. Most of religion is avodah zarah. And therefore, the idea of Elul and the openness to the Avas Hashem without all of the chatzitzes is to avoid all elements of Avodah Zarah. Okay, have a great, great Rosh Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Tov Umevorach.